Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Southern Utah. Welcome to Elder Care Radio, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. A personal shout out to my friend Bob in Cedar City, who introduced himself to me yesterday, and thank you for that. Thank you all for listening. We are the provider that does more services to bring you the highest quality of life with less stress. Give our office a call at 435-477-6999. Or look us up on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com to find out more about us and about the program that can help each of you navigate this difficult healthcare system and life itself.
Right. So we've on occasion had conversations about things that the medical community seems to not ignore, but not necessarily give as much attention to as they should. And we hope today is another one of those. We're going to try and have a good conversation and explore some problems that exist with people, especially as we age. But it's true for everybody. And that right now, it all started with a question of, do I need to take any supplements? I mean, that's kind of the question. And I think that's been argued and batted back and forth a lot. And some people would say not really, and others would say yes.
And one of the big questions, I'd say, or perhaps argument between couples sometimes, is should you take supplements when you're taking other medications? And quite often, medical professionals will say, just lay off the supplements because of the interactions. But there are better ways. Medications themselves actually reduce your nutritional value and the ability to assimilate nutritional components from foods. So supplementation is not a bad thing. This was a program that we're, you know, looking forward to bringing to you because we often have these questions. And we actually had a website we work with that is written by medical professionals, a team of medical professionals that talk about supplementation of nutritional content, vitamins and supplements to help you be healthy and reduce with all kinds of problems.
Yeah, and I think we've all at least entertained the idea that, well, you know, we were put on this earth and it should provide for us if we do it properly, if we eat the right foods, if we do things, we should be able to cover everything. That, I mean, man has existed for quite a long time without supplements, so what's the problem? And these are some things that we know. We know that the nutritional density in food is no longer as dense as it was. And there are studies, and we can toss out some pretty outrageous statements like eating one orange in the 50s, you have to eat eight of those same oranges today to get that same nutritional value. I mean, it's extreme. So
the toxic burden, of course, you know, the toxins in the air and in the soils has increased exponentially.
Right. So now we have glyphosate and bisphenol A and other things that have been added to the soil, and those cause problems with the biome, you know, so the flora and fauna of the soil isn't able to break the soil down so the plants can absorb it. And so plants aren't as robust as they used to be. And when they're dealing with that, they end up being a little more starchy than they used to be. I don't know if you've noticed that peaches are a little harder to find super juicy, you know.
And tomatoes. Well, we see stories almost every week about lead in drinking water throughout the country, right?
Yeah. So we have to realize that this is not the ideal world that it was a long time ago. And so we can either continue to argue, well, it should be, and we're going to find a way to somehow craft our meal prep to fit that. And, you know, if you could hunt and gather everything you needed and you drank just purified water and you had no exposure to toxins and you, you know, I think
you wouldn't be living in the world today.
Maybe if you live in Northern Canada, perhaps, right.
So
Siberia.
So I think we can all figure out that maybe it is reasonable that supplements, Now, there's a lot of supplements out there, and we're going to talk about the ones.
I was going to say, Richard, can you define what you mean by supplement? Are we talking protein shakes or vitamins, or what do you guys exactly mean by supplements?
That's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So if I'm going to frame this for you. We're going to be talking about the supplements that have been proven to have widespread effect on the body, not just ones that might have a single effect on one thing, right? So these are just really the core minerals and vitamins and things that our bodies need. And there's about 60 of them.
Well, and we gleaned this out of this report. So 6 in 10 Americans have a chronic disease. 4 in 10 have multiple chronic diseases. Ooh. Chronic diseases increase the demands for nutrition, right? So we started there and talked about looked for things that are most prevalent, like obesity, heart disease, liver, kidney, your core organs that to sustain life, the brain and lungs, right? So we took those chronic illnesses and took information from a medical website and came up with the nutrition, the top core.
Right. You mentioned obesity.
Yeah,
you mentioned obesity, and it's interesting that obesity restricts our ability to absorb certain nutrients, and yet we need more of those. So if we were just talking about vitamin D, right, this is kind of one of those core vitamins that we need that we lack significantly. So if you have obesity, then you aren't able to assimilate vitamin D as well
from food,
and you aren't able to absorb it as effectively out of the sunlight.
Right.
And so that becomes a problem. And when we have this low vitamin D, it doesn't have just one single effect. It is a ripple effect that causes all kinds of problems because most of these minerals work in concert. They talked about iron. You know, you could have enough iron in your diet, but if you don't have enough copper to process that iron, then that iron doesn't actually get assimilated. So when we're talking about obesity, they say that, you know, somebody who has obesity probably needs about 10,000 IUs per day of vitamin D, and while somebody who's lean may only need 2,000.
That's just to maintain a normal level.
That's right. In order to get caught up, you may need more. So it's important for us to really consider what we're doing and where we're at.
And someone who's lean only needs about 2,000 IUs, that would be sufficient for them.
Yeah. So you probably need to adjust your diet. And this is a good point that we learned. We can't necessarily just run with the recommended daily allowances that are out there. Something I learned that was kind of interesting.
Fascinating.
The USRDA, the recommended daily allowances, was actually determined in 1941. And what was going on in 1941? We were in a massive war, and the military was trying to figure out, what do we need to provide somebody to sustain their life? Not to make them the healthiest possible, but what's the minimum we have to deliver in order to make this, you know, person not fall over and not be able to be effective in their job? And that's what we've been running on. Now, there have been adjustments. There's been a couple of adjustments. Last time it was really adjusted was in the mid-90s. But those adjustments weren't about the best life you could live. They were about, just barely getting by. That's the minimum recommended daily allowance.
Right. When coming up with that recommended daily allowance, the questions they were asking were certainly not how can we optimize the soldier's health. They were asking how can we keep them alive during wartime? What's the minimum? How can we make sure they don't develop scurvy and rickets and these diseases of malnutrition on the minimum sustenance?
Right. So using those standards, everybody is deficient. A lot of the statistics in here were really incredible. I'm just going to go through a few of those. So 100% of us do not get enough potassium, according to this study. 94 don't get enough vitamin D. 94% don't get enough choline. 89% don't get enough vitamin E. So if you're wondering if you're in one of those groups,
probably hit one now.
Yeah, I would say that almost everybody is. And this was a study based upon some doctors who were working with their own patients who generally were health conscious. They weren't, as they mentioned, medical virgins. They were actively trying to live the healthiest life they could, and they were testing them, and they were finding these things. So 60% of us don't get enough vitamin K. 52% don't get enough magnesium. So there's all kinds of problems. Let's see. They actually clarified that. They said 52 don't get enough magnesium, but the actual numbers, because magnesium isn't as easy to read in the blood because a lot of it's retained in the body, 44% probably don't, or 44% are about all that do get that. So calcium's 43%, vitamin A's 43%, and that, you know, there's just a long list. And these are all the common vitamins, the ones that we all have known and grew up with that, you know, were coming in, those vitamins that you might take as a kid or whatever. We're not going to be talking today about unique and specialized supplements that somebody might take because, you know, of some particular thing. We're looking at the base core body process and what it would take to get that up to date.
In general, Americans are deficient in not just one essential nutrient, but several.
Yeah. And we also have to understand
that's an interesting fact, really. I mean, we are just going throughout our day, just living, eating, you know, managing life, and wondering why we all have so many questions about brain fog, about an inability to draw words, about, you know, fatigue, and why do we struggle with losing weight that seemed to be, you know, so much easier years before. And medicine has discovered that it's essential nutrient deficiencies that are causing most of these problems, several nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah, and we can all probably assume that we're nutrient deficient. And here's what I kind of want to point out. You can go to your doctor. They can run a couple of tests. Now, the choice of tests will give them different answers. They were very clear that some of these tests aren't as effective, and a lot of things can't really be tested for effectively. But since we find these problems, we might as well look at trying to increase that. Now, here's the deal. Your doctors are subject to the whole medical system, and the medical system is mostly driven by pharma. That may be a touchy subject for some, but certainly pharma is the one that is putting ads on television and radio constantly trying to get you to buy the newest, latest drug. They're the ones who have all the money to drive this, and they have influence over doctors. And so you may find a doctor who is more on the, let me see if I can help you find a natural or an optional solution instead of a medication. And
but
whether
that's the exception, not a rule. Usually yeah. They're masking a symptom.
So this is something that you really need to take on yourself. You can't expect the medical community to do that because really there's no money behind it. You know, there's not massive amounts of money where they can charge $400 for a month's worth of supplements. And so that restricts the likelihood that there's going to be a lot of advancement in this technology or information, even testing for these things. Now, medicine can test for a lot of things, but they test for the things that medicine can fix and not for the things that people may need fixed.
And if you think your doctor tested you for all of them, you can't really assess vitamin K in the blood accurately right now. There are some surrogate markers you can use to estimate levels, but you're not going to get an accurate test result. For instance, with iodine, if you want to know long-term iodine status, you actually have to test the hair. If you do a urine test, you can see how much the patient has consumed in the past 24 hours, but that doesn't really tell you a long-term status.
Yeah, and so nutrients like vitamin B, there's a couple of ways to test for it. One of them is a serum B12, and that's you test the blood, right? And that gives you kind of a range. The problem is that serum B12 test doesn't show up until your B12 deficiency is at a critical level. And that's, you know, that level 4 vitamin B12 deficiency, which is the final stages of B12 deficiency. So we need to look at other things. And so for B12, you can take a methylmalonic acid or a homocysteine test. And those will be more accurate in what your body's actually able to use and do. And I think a lot of us probably are deficient in vitamin B12 or all of the B vitamins. In fact, I was just talking to one of our specialists, and she said she's been going to the doctor because she's just been dealing with, you know, this, I sleep all the time, I have brain fog, you know, all these concerns. And she found a new doctor who says, oh, well, you're deficient in vitamin B, and I'd like you to get vitamin B shots. And she said, well, why didn't anybody else tell me that? And right. That's where you come back to some doctors are looking for a a pharmaceutical solution for you, and there may not be for brain fog. But if we can improve our bodies to where we don't have those problems in the first place, then we won't need the medical interventions. So that's one of the things we hope that we get across today, is that if you are actively engaged in your own medical care and you pursue this information, you can have a conversation with your doctor. They may be able to support you in that. They may give you concurrent and supporting information, but they probably aren't going to take that on themselves if you're not already on that path.
Really, if we just think in basic logical terms, though, we all know that we have changed the way that food is grown. We, you know, pick fruits and vegetables early and gas them. That can't be healthy, right? I mean, just logically, it certainly can't be as nutritious as it was in the past when our, you know, forefathers were younger, right? It just isn't. We know that most of us recognize that food just doesn't taste as delicious as it did when I was younger. I know picking a peach off of a tree was just so delicious in the summertime, and now I have a hard time finding good peaches. They're mealy, and, you know, I mean, there's a few farmers that have great peaches, but I'm talking about in the grocery stores. So we probably do need to offset the damage that we're doing for convenience, and because people like to see fruits and vegetables that are pretty in the grocery store, and that's why they're picked early and have less nutritional value. They're being
they don't bruise when they're rock hard.
Yeah, and they're breeding them for hybriding them so that they will last longer and have more opportunity to transport without being ruined. And so we have to be smart and logical about it, and we have to supplement where we are deficient. And these are just some of the core nutritional supplements, but really important ones that directly affect our core organs, our major organs, vital organs.
Every body system. They say magnesium, in this explanation, they said when they were going to medical school, magnesium affected 300 different processes in the body. That's an amazing number. And then later that was adjusted to 450 processes in the body. And now they're looking at magnesium itself is involved in over 600 processes. So if you're limiting your magnesium or it's restricted, then those processes aren't working properly. But earlier, Kaylee, you said, the chronic conditions that we're in now, when we have chronic disease, and our bodies actually need more nutrition to deal with that. But there's a couple of other parts to that. A, our bodies are less likely to be able to get that nutrition effectively. And when we are dealing with a chronic disease, we are normally taking medications. And medications have an effect.
Slow the absorption.
Yeah, they slow it. They require more. So they gave some examples. If you're on diuretics for blood pressure, you lose magnesium. Magnesium is one of those core supplements.
I think it's important to say it's not that you're not going to be able to supplement and absorb it because you're on these medications. It's the time that you take the supplementation has to be about 4 hours, according to medical studies. It has to be about 4 hours apart. So if you take your medications in the morning, perhaps you take the supplementation in the evening with dinner meals, or, you know, switch that around. Take your supplementation in the morning and take your medications at night. But there needs to be a gap when you're taking a medication that reduces absorption. Otherwise, you're just wasting your money and having very expensive urine as you process those vitamins through your system.
Right. If you take acid blockers for heartburn or acid reflux, you can't absorb B12 very well. Metformin. Oh, man, metformin is damaging to folate and to B12. So if you're taking metformin, you need to supplement.
Well, B12 and folate are so important for the health of the nervous system and the brain. So if you're feeling that you have brain fog, perhaps you are deficient in B12 and folate. So many drugs interfere with the B12 and folate absorption. It's very typical to be low in B12 and folate serums. And then zinc is critical for the brain function also and immune function. Calcium is difficult to measure in the blood because if our intake drops, the body will just pull the calcium out of the bone in order to maintain a normal blood calcium level. Low calcium intake in the diet leads to osteopenia and osteoporosis. For calcium, they use a chronometer, which is just a way to record what they have eaten very carefully over a three-day period. That gives us an idea of how much calcium we're getting on a daily basis. It should be 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day, depending on your age and whether you are pregnant or not.
Mm-hmm. So certainly we can do some testing to find some things. We can't test for everything. But really, it comes down to what are the symptoms that they cause, and these are some key things. And if you're feeling some of these things, then it would make sense to probably, you know, look at some supplements. So, what are those vitamin deficiencies? With all of those little micronutrients that our bodies need, vitamin C is one of those. Mm-hmm. If you're having some difficulties, so on vitamin C, they say, you know, if you're catching more colds or the flu, or you're feeling down, or you know, you're getting more infections, or if you're experiencing inflammation,
which adversely affects every core system in our body, and vitamin C deficiency is an indicator, or I'm sorry,
is a cause.
Inflammation. Hmm. Can be an indicator that you're C deficient.
So if you have any tendency towards inflammation, and that's not a swollen knee, it can be, but inflammation affects our entire body. We'll go back to COVID. One of the big side effects was COVID. It was caused inflammation in different areas. So if you are vitamin C deficient, maybe we need to change that, and that would help solve that. Now, is it going to change in a week? No, probably not. It's just you need to get on that course of supplements and start using those and see over a year if that does some good. And then we talk about what are some other feelings. Fatigue. You know, chronic fatigue, just lack of energy, hard to get up in the morning. There's a number of different things. Obviously, B vitamins, I think we all know that.
All of your vitamin Bs, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Every one of those. Each of them are unique in their own way.
And folate
and vitamin D. Now, it was interesting when they talked about vitamin D testing. They said, well, there's a couple of tests you can do, and your doctor will probably do a vitamin D test. But the one they tend not to do, but would be more effective in explaining, is a vitamin D3, because there's actually more than one D vitamin. So vitamin D3 would be the test to do. So that makes a difference. And then low mood. I mean, not necessarily chronic depression, but just not being in the best of moods all the time. That can be in there. And brain fog and cognitive symptoms. And I've noticed that I have a much harder time finding vocabulary than I used to. And all these things that are attributable to age now. But wouldn't it be interesting if, for those of us who are being told, well, you're just getting old, and we took our health in our own hands and said, okay, we're going to take some supplements of the core nutrients that we need and see if we can make an improvement in that.
In the U.S., 7 of 10 of the leading causes of death are chronic disease rather than acute problems. Acute problems being something that spurs up for a short term, right, and is resolved. Chronic is long term. We've found that quite often it is due to vitamin and nutrient deficiency. So we hope that this information has brought you some guidance and perhaps some curiosities of things to look into or to questions to ask your doctor so that you might be able to leave a higher quality of life and have more energy and a happy, positive mood throughout the days.
And we are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, helping you live the best life for as long as possible. That's always going to be our goal for everybody, and we really appreciate this community. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. And if you want to check out our website, pathwayhospicecare.com.
Or give us our office a call and introduce yourself to us. We'd love to say hi.
Yeah, let us know that you listen to this program. We'd like to know that somebody hears us.
Have a great week, everyone. Okay, I have an appointment.